Today's morning meditation was one of the most powerful ones that I had in the past 69 days since I started meditating every day. And I want to share with you why. But first, I want to tell you what one of my biggest fears is. And this fear I was able to confront in today's meditation. There is this scenario in my mind almost every time that I'm flying. I'm taking an airplane when I'm at an airport and then going through security and through customs. There is a scenario that comes alive in those situations of somehow something being wrong, either with my travel documents, like my passport. Something is wrong. I don't have the necessary documents, or through the security check-in, someone put some kind of like drugs in my suitcase, and then this gets found, and like through it's a vague feeling. There is not this like really this fear that I can really pinpoint. Is this vague feeling of I'm in a really vulnerable situation where somehow something can be off, and then my freedom is taken away, and then an officer is coming, and because of whatever is off, whatever is wrong, I get locked into a room, or I get thrown into jail, and I don't have freedom anymore. Because it's so interesting. So many people are afraid of failure or whatever, but I don't have this. Like, as long as I'm free to be myself and to do things in the world, then I have no fear of anything. I don't have fear of failure. I don't have fear of like people leaving me, whatever. Because when I'm a sovereign human being, then everything is all right. This is deeply, deeply ingrained in myself. But when this freedom is taken away and somebody or something has power over me because of whatever reason, this makes me anxious. This makes me anxious and gives me a feeling of I don't have control. I don't have power over my circumstances anymore. And every time I'm flying, this gets triggered, this scenario. Maybe you can relate with that. And then in today's morning meditation, somehow this scenario came into my system. And this feeling of discomfort and fear arose, like became stronger. And then I practiced releasing and relaxing, like relaxing into this feeling and slowly releasing it. And through this process, the scenario got really vivid in my imagination. Like somebody coming and throwing me into jail. And then I'm there. I don't have any sovereignty anymore. I don't have any freedom anymore. I'm not in control of what I do and where I am. And I'm locked in this room and it's closed. And I'm just there by myself, alone. I don't know when I will get out. I don't know if I will ever get out. I don't know when I will get food. I don't know, like, nothing. I'm just there and I'm totally out of charge, out of control. And this imagination got really strong. And then I tried to relax and, like, surrender into that as well. And after a while, this feeling of discomfort slowly faded away. And I just realized, okay, My exterior freedom is taken away. I cannot go anywhere. I cannot do a phone call. I cannot do anything. But inside myself, nobody can take this freedom away. I can just be in this locked prison cell. And I can close my eyes and I can meditate. And I don't need food, I can fast. And this sovereignty cannot be taken away. Like, I can just be there. And I can surrender into this situation. And maybe I will be there for just a day, and then somebody will come and say, like, oh, it was all a mistake, you can go now. Maybe I'll be there for a month or a year or... And that's why Invictus is one of my favorite movies, because it shares the story of Nelson Mandela being... I forgot the exact amount. I think around three decades of being in jail, being on Robben Island, the coast of Cape Town, South Africa, being in this high security prison without having done anything wrong, just because being in opposition to the government, just expressing his opinion, because of that, being thrown into jail for years and years and years and years. And this not leading to him giving up or condemning everybody that put him in this miserable situation, but practicing this inner freedom and seeing it as an opportunity to let go of anything that doesn't serve you, to let go of your personal self, to let go of your own agenda, and to really fully 100% surrender into what is happening right now and not being in resistance. And these years in prison prepared him for becoming the president of South Africa. I think this is one of the most remarkable things that this amazing man did. He did not turn against the people who put him into this prison. He didn't look for revenge. Although, like, oh, everybody inside, like in his inner circle was like, okay, now you are free and now you're president and we are going to crush all these people who caused all this pain to us. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Because his years in prison purified him and let go of all anger. Let go of all resentment, let go of all resistance, and prepared him for becoming the highest version, like the best possible president for this nation. And then he played a big part in slowly but steadily reuniting South Africa. And it's a beautiful movie. You had highly recommended to watch Invictus. It shows the journey of the South African rugby team. It's closely interlinked to the story of Madiba, of Nelson Mandela. And I watch it over and over again. And every time I get goosebumps when seeing like this inhumane prison cell where he was locked for years and years and years, not knowing when he will get out, not knowing if he will ever get out. And then still not being full of judgment, full of resentment, full of anger, full of hatred towards the people who put him there. But he fully surrendered into this process. And he went out of prison as a more mature, more enlightened, more peaceful man. And his journey played a part in my morning meditation as well, and I was realizing if through whatever circumstances I will ever be in this situation in my life where I will not have any exterior freedom, I cannot move anywhere, I will be just locked somewhere and people having power over me, nobody can have power over what is going on inside myself. This is always, always pure, always, always perfect. And slowly this fear faded away. It slowly faded away because I realized I don't need anything on the outside. I don't need, although I enjoy my daily papaya from my own garden so much, or my dinner durian that tastes so delicious. Although I enjoy that so much, if I don't have it, that's okay. If I will be forced to fast, that's okay. If I will be forced to eat low quality food, that's okay. Maybe I will do that, or maybe I will just fast. If I will be forced to stay in this one room and not be able to move anywhere else, that's okay. If I will be forced to sleep on the floor without a comfortable bed, that's okay. If I will be forced to be in this concrete box, locked concrete box, and I won't have nature under my feet, it will be hard, but it will be okay. And the longer this process took, my meditation, the more ease and the more freedom came into my system. And the less resistance was there towards this scenario of losing my freedom. Because I realized I cannot lose my freedom. I'm always free, no matter where I am. But the key to all of that is letting go of any personal desires. As long as I cling to my comfortable bed and to my papaya and to my relationships and to grass under my feet, as long as I cling to that, I'm not free. And the more I embrace discomfort, like being in this little cells, the epitome of discomfort, not having comfortable place to stay, not having good quality food, not having fresh air, not having anything, not having books, not having people, not having relationships, not having my son, not having anything. It's the ultimate discomfort. But when I can surrender into this discomfort, then I'm fully free. Then I'm fully, fully free. And I want to take my really transformational meditation and this whole process as an invitation to, in today's podcast episode, talk about our relationship to discomfort and our relationship to comfort. Because I believe it's one of the keys to become fully free. Yeah. Because we've built lives, like individually and collectively, that are so oriented towards comfort. We crave comfort. We crave this cozy setting where everything just feels nice, where everything just feels pretty, pretty good. We feel like the comfort food. We feel our nice, comfortable sofa with a lot of pillows and with blankets, and we developed an aversion towards discomfort. Everything that's not comfortable just feels bad, and we try to avoid it. And through this collective and individual optimizing for comfort, we are creating lives and we are creating a planet that's not in alignment. After my son was born, it was one of my biggest priorities to carry him like skin to skin in the sling as much as possible for hours and hours and hours. Because when I read The Continuum Concept by Jean Liedloff, highly recommend it. I think I recommend this book in almost every podcast episode because it's such a game changer. When I read this book, I was like, oh, I was blown away by the level of bliss, the level of joy, the level of alignment that these Amazon tribes are living in, because they are carried all the time in their first month after birth. And I read this and I was like, okay, I will carry Leona as much as possible. And I did that. And every time, every evening when I went to bed, my feet hurt a lot, because I was walking so much with this little human being. Maybe I walked 3 times, 4 times as much as before he was born. And my feet were not used to that. It was uncomfortable. It was really, really uncomfortable. But I overcame this urge of trying to replace this discomfort with more comfort, and just put Leona into a stroller when he's sleeping and shake it a little bit, but being able to relax on the sofa and with one hand shake his stroller a little bit, or get one of these crazy devices where the baby gets rocked by itself and it's just bouncing up and down, and the parents don't need to do anything and they can just chill on the sofa and have a nice time. I tried to overcome this urge because I realized actually this discomfort that I felt on my feet is a sign for me that in the past I was not living in alignment with my truth. And through trying to replace it with more comfort, I'm actually avoiding my truth. And this discomfort that I experienced was an invitation for me to question how I'm living. And if I'm honest with myself, I realize we as human beings are really designed for walking. Like, past generations walked for 10, 20, 30 kilometers every day. Every day. We are like hunter-gatherers. We are here to roam around. We are not here to sit on comfortable sofas. Like, our bodies are designed to walk. And I neglected this essential need my body has. Like, in the past, before Leona was born, and now he's born, he invites me to step into my truth again. And of course, the gap between what my body is designed for and how I treated it in the past, this gap leads to this discomfort. And the problem is not the discomfort. The problem is not the pain in my feet. The problem is that in the past, I lived a life that was not in alignment with myself. And now this shows through the discomfort. So the discomfort wants to be embraced, wants to be cherished, wants to be appreciated. Hey, thank you. Thank you that I'm now finally able to realize how I should treat my body and how I didn't treat my body in the past. And this shows through discomfort. Thank you. If we are able to embrace an attitude like this, we inevitably, over time, arrive more at a truth, at what is really good for us individually and for us collectively. So I want to use today's episode as an opportunity to dive into this topic, to explore why are we so drawn to comfort, and how changing our attitude, and really for me it's really a process of growing up, a process of maturing, a process of becoming an adult fully, that our relationship with discomfort can change, and this is able to really set us free on every level. So let me check if the recording is good. Yes. One of my favorite quotes by Buddha is, "All of life is suffering." Why is all of life suffering? Because of two things. I shared that in one of my past episodes again, but it's such a mind blower. Why is all of life suffering? Like, why do we suffer? Why do we have pain? Why do we have discomfort? Because of two things. First, we cling, and two, we resist. We cling to the things that we want, and we resist the things that we don't want. We cling to, oh, I want this, I want the beautiful relationship, I want to have the comfortable sofa, I want to have the nice organic breakfast, I want to have beautiful friends, and so on and so on. And I resist the things that I don't want. I resist being in this prison cell. I resist not having my favorite, like my favorite things around me. I resist my body being not as fit as it can be, and so on and so on. I resist my partner potentially leaving me because they found somebody with whom they connect even on a deeper level, and so on. We resist and we cling. And as long as we do that, we can only suffer, because we cannot arrive at a point in our life where everything that we want is there and everything that we don't want is not there. This is impossible. Maybe it will be there for like a minute. And then something happens where some of the things that we like get taken away, or even like threatened to be taken away, or something that we don't want arrives in our reality, and then we suffer again. So the path, the only path to a life where we don't suffer, is to let go of clinging and to let go of resisting. And this, our relationship to discomfort, plays a huge, huge role. Because embracing discomfort is the gateway. Is the gateway to, because things, why do we resist certain things? Why do we resist these? Because they feel not comfortable. And if we come to peace with that, if we can accept this discomfort that gets caused by this emotion that is arising in my body right now because I had this argument with this person, or I'm in the situation at the airport right now where I feel, oh, potentially my freedom can be taken away. If I can relax into this, and if I can release that, and if I can accept it and sit with this discomfort, then I'm free and I'm not suffering anymore. Yeah. And this, for me, this is a hypothetical scenario. I've never been in a situation where my freedom was taken away, but 2 years ago in Costa Rica, I met a really, really inspiring human being, and this man told me about a similar story that was actually real, because he was robbed, like his documents and his paper and credit card and everything was taken away, and his phone, and he didn't have anything. He was in a foreign country, and then he was put into a jail because people thought he was like legal immigrant and he didn't have any documents or whatever, and he was put in a jail, and he didn't knew anybody in this country. And really, like, when he shared this story, my fear got triggered of like, oh, okay, this can really be a reality. But how he shared this story with me made me feel that. And I have so much respect for this man, so much admiration, because how he shared the story, I sensed that he was really in peace. He was in peace with not knowing when he will get out. And he was sitting there in meditation, and he knew everything will play out how it should play out. If I need to have this experience of being here in this prison for days, weeks, months, whatever, if this is the experience I need to be having right now, then I will be have that. And I will be having that. And my invitation is to surrender into that and to let it purify me, and to be my to let it be my greatest teacher. And maybe I will get out tomorrow. But if I will get out tomorrow, like, Why not enjoy? Why not enjoy this day that I'm... Why not really... There's this beautiful quote. I think it's by Theodore Roosevelt. I'm not sure anymore. Never waste a great crisis. I love that. Because when you're in a situation where you are really stretched, where things get really uncomfortable, in whichever way, why not use this as an opportunity to purify, to learn, to grow? Why not use this as an opportunity to become more of who we truly are and to let go of anything that we are not? So it doesn't matter when he will get out of prison, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe he will stay here for half a year. But whatever is the scenario that will play out, this is a maybe once in a lifetime opportunity. Like all the major crises in our life, like our partner filing for divorce, or we are losing a loved one, or our business is like fully crashing and we are filing for bankruptcy, whatever, like a major crisis, some like our health is deteriorating and we are in hospital because we had a car crash or whatever. Like maybe this is a once or twice in a lifetime experience. And this is an opportunity to learn, to grow, that we will maybe never be given again. Why not use this? Why not use this to practice surrender? Because if we are able, and that's why I have so much admiration for this man, if he's able to be at peace in prison, then he will be at peace in every situation in his life, no matter what will come, no matter what will come in his relationship, in his business, so whatever. Maybe this experience in prison will be the major building block of a free, sovereign, beautiful life that he will live afterwards. Why not embrace it as this opportunity? Because when we resist it, we throw away the gift that it is. And of course, I'm not saying like, oh, this is... Of course, if we have the opportunity to choose either to stay in prison or to have this, like to be at our home with our loved ones and so on, of course everybody would choose that, sure. But if we are in a situation where we don't have this choice, why not make the best out of what is given to us right now and use this as an opportunity to practice surrender and to let go of our clinging and our resisting? And he was really able to do that. And then he got out. I think it was a week afterwards because of some crazy coincidences that one of the employees at the prison knew somebody, and their boss had a good connection with like my friend, and then he got out. But he didn't get out as a, oh, finally it's over, because I suffered so much. And like so many people really get broken by an experience like that, or losing a child or whatever. Like they really internally they break, and then they're suffering for the rest of their lives. But he and Nelson Mandela as well became more whole, became more pure, became more of who they truly are. And this experience greatly enriched them. And I'm not saying that it's easy. Of course, there will be like innumerable days where Nelson Mandela probably would have said like, oh, it would be so much nicer to be at home with my wife and so on. Of course. But then, because this is not an option right now, it's an opportunity to step again into surrendering. Yeah. And this really inspired me, the conversation I had with him. And I feel the depth, I feel the truth in that. And seeing him, like he was in this beautiful setting, we were in the Costa Rican jungle having this nice retreat and whatever. We were really in the like perfect, beautiful setting. And he was able to appreciate and to enjoy everything that was taking place there so much more than most of the other people that were there. Because he, a couple of months earlier, was sitting in prison. And I don't want to say that we need this, like these like bad experience in order to really appreciate the good ones. I don't think that's necessary. We can live in paradise all the time. I think that's totally viable. But if it's not the reality that we're living in right now, why not use this? Why not really use this? Yeah. I want to share another story by Jean Liedloff. It's from the Continuum Concept book as well. I just listened to the audiobook, I think, for the fifth or sixth time. This book is an incredible game changer. And she shared a story that she adopted a little monkey. in order to feed this little monkey, she knew that banana is like favorite breakfast, and she peeled the banana. And then she gave the banana to this little monkey, and monkey ate the banana and really enjoyed it. But after having finished like half of the banana, monkey was full, and then it found a little tissue, and it wrapped the banana in the tissue just in order to save it for later. And then put the wrapped banana like beside him, and then playing a little bit, and then discovering this wrapped banana. Oh my god, there's a treasure. And then monkey jumped on the banana and ripped the tissue apart and found the half-eaten banana. Oh my god, how amazing. But then it dawned on it that I just ate and I'm actually full. I don't want to eat anymore. Wrap the banana in the tissue again, put it on the side, and this whole scenario played out a couple of times. And Jean was witnessing that. And through witnessing that, she realized that this little monkey has like two desires, two needs. And one of them was fulfilled, and the other one was not fulfilled. And this led to the whole process not being completed, and something missing. And that's why this cycle repeated itself again and again. And these two needs that were present was, first, of course, need for food, like filling your stomach. This was fulfilled. But the second need is really participating, playing an active role in getting to the situation where you are able to eat. Like there's this innate desire in the little monkey and inside all of us human beings as well, to hunt, to gather, to prepare. And Jean realized that through buying the banana and peeling it for the monkey and giving it to this little being, she made it way too easy. She made it way too easy. And of course, the stomach is full. But this other need for climbing through the branches of the jungle and then discovering the banana, like high up the tree, and then climbing over there, and maybe even taking some risks, arriving at the banana, then trying to peel it, being successful, and then eating it. Yeah, this desire was not fulfilled because it was too easy. Because the little monkey did not need to work in order to get some food. And that's why this innate need was not fulfilled. And yeah, scenario played out over and over again, because it was not able to hunt and to gather. And the banana was there, and it was too easy. And when you would ask most people, what would you prefer? Like, how would you prefer to arrive at a place that you can enjoy your dinner? Would you rather be just given a well and beautifully cooked meal and just sit there and have it handed to you? Or would you prefer to be outside in the jungle and needing to find food and needing to like harvest it, or maybe even to to need to find an animal and shoot it and prepare it and so on. What would you prefer? Like most people would prefer the done for you dinner, the comfortable way. But the thing is, deep in our system, as it was true for the monkey, this innate need that we have to work, to prepare, to actively participate, to do something for the return that we get, this won't be fulfilled because of us just being handed the nice meal. And the same is true for ordering something on an app or just opening the fridge and putting something in the microwave, heating it up and then eating it. And when I heard this story, I was really reminded of our ways of life that are optimized for comfort in the long run cause discomfort. We saw that in the little monkey. Like, optimizing for comfort in the first place led to a substantial need not being met, and this caused discomfort. Like when we imagine, like when we order our food through an app, or our parents cooking it for us and we don't need to do anything for it, we don't appreciate the food as much. We don't enjoy it as much. Maybe we don't chew as slowly as we would if we would really appreciate this food, and through just like gushing it down, not being aware of what we are like really putting inside our bodies, maybe we don't digest the food as well. And maybe this will lead to all sorts of sickness and feelings of like not being well. Through us optimizing for comfort, you see that in what we eat as well. Like, do we eat something that is rich in sugar and in salt and in oil and fat and just takes like really like comfort food? Even in the wording comfort food, if you imagine comfort food, you would imagine something that's really rich, really fatty, really intense, really juicy. And maybe this satisfies our taste buds in the short run and gives us this comfortable feeling of sitting on the sofa with a blanket, watching something on Netflix, and then munching on some mac and cheese. Mac and cheese for me is the ultimate, like, when I think about comfort food, I always need to think about mac and cheese and Ben and Jerry's as a dessert. But the thing is, if we optimize for that, if we take the comfortable road, of course we get a lot of discomfort in the future, because we feed our bodies with something that is not only not nourishing, but really detrimental. Compare that to being outside, being hungry and not having any food, and then roaming around and then seeing this banana tree with a ripe banana, and then needing to climb this tree and maybe even hurting yourself because it's really steep and there are ants and so on, but then arriving on top and harvesting the bananas and then opening the banana and trying it. And oh, how amazing does this banana taste? Because we really worked for it. We really did something for it. We earned it. We chose the discomfort. But this leads to comfort in the long run. The absence of discomfort in the long run. And I don't want, because it's a fine line, because I don't want to put this point across that is really, really prevailing in the personal development coaching scene. Like this attitude of you need to suffer. You need to earn your fortune. Nothing is given to you. Like everybody treats you shitty, but you can, if you believe in yourself and if you hustle hard, then you can make it to a good life. Like this attitude of suffering that is personified by people like David Goggins. I watched an interview by David Goggins. He's a former like Navy SEAL, and he's one of the toughest men in life, and he runs basically 150 kilometers for breakfast barefoot on his hands. He's a super tough guy. But when you see him, you see the amount of pain in his eyes, in his body, because he's always like trying to push himself more and more and harder and harder and harder. I don't want to put this point across. I believe life is here to be beautiful, to be effortless, to be easy, to be enjoyed, to be cherished, to be celebrated. And this is the new paradigm. I'm 100% convinced of that. But through our decisions in the past and through living in the old paradigm of control, of fear, of treating our bodies in a way that was not aligned, of eating mac and cheese and of sitting the whole day and not being outdoors and not walking enough, and yeah, your feet hurt when you're carrying around your little son. Through us being so like departed so far from our truth, from our true alignment, like the farther we departed, the farther we are away from true alignment, the longer our way back will be. And I believe we cannot, if we departed like really far, we cannot just in an instance, boom, then we are make the decision to beam ourselves into the new paradigm and everything's beautiful. No, we need to adjust. And this adjustment, like as I experienced with my feet, this adjustment can cause discomfort. Can cause discomfort. And then not resisting this discomfort and saying, okay, I will stay in my comfortable setting, but really embracing discomfort as, thank you, an indicator where in the past I neglected my truth and now I realize that, thank you. And this for me is the formula to step into the new paradigm and to build a more beautiful world. To embrace discomfort, not with this you need to hustle and you need to suffer and so on attitude, but to say like, no, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to feel this discomfort, but it's there right now because of me making decisions in the past that were not in alignment. And I will accept it. I will not resist it. I will feel it. And I will embrace it. And that's the most important point, I see this as an invitation to step more into truth, to step more into my alignment, because I know the more I do that, the less discomfort will be there. Because if we are living in full alignment with the principles of nature, how our bodies, how our spiritual body, how our physical body, how our emotional body, how our mental body, how we collectively as a society are designed to live, if we really align ourselves with the fundamental laws of nature, life will be beautiful and effortless. And there will not be like real discomfort. Or to put it in other words, things that may cause a lot of discomfort for other people won't be causing discomfort for us. In her book, Jean describes a situation where a couple of Yekwana tribe members were tasked with the really, for most people, really discomfortable endeavor of putting this, carrying this insane, like really, really, really huge canoe made of one tree. Like imagine like full tree, because the water level was not high enough and they needed to carry it over some like rocks in order to put it into the river again and then being able to flow with the river. But it was not possible there because the water was not high enough, so they needed to carry this canoe, and it was so heavy and the sun was burning, and the rocks over which they were carrying it was super sharp, and they hurt their legs and so on. And the Western people that were part of this scenario, like some Italian guys, they were cursing and hating every second of it. But the Yekuana people, they made jokes. They laughed. They didn't suffer. They didn't feel like it was not uncomfortable for them. Of course, physically it was stressing, it was exhausting, but they didn't suffer because they didn't resist it. Because they knew, okay, I'm in this situation, I want to put the canoe into the river again, like a mile from here. We want to go there. There's no other option. We cannot just like we cannot solve it. It doesn't get any better through me suffering, through me resisting, through me like being in this discomfort and hating it. Okay, I feel the discomfort and I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time. And of course, this is not something that we can just with positive thinking, okay, now I will act like this. That's not how it works. Every situation like this, be it in a prison or with this heavy canoe or whatever we are feeling, whatever kind of discomfort we are feeling, taking it as an opportunity to let go of that and to relax into this and to surrender. And of course, it's a path. It's a path, but every opportunity life presents us with that is uncomfortable, if we have the awareness to see what's really going on and to appreciate this opportunity that we are given right now, and although maybe it doesn't feel natural for us right now, and maybe it feels uncomfortable, we don't resist it and we go into it. This is the path to freedom. This is the path to a beautiful life. Yeah. So we need to, like, individually and collectively, we need to rethink our relationship with discomfort. Yeah. And to see this as what it truly is. And an invitation to see where in the past we made decisions that were not in alignment with us. And to correct that. And to know that the more corrections we will make, the less discomfort will be there. Yeah. Like seeing the Yekuana people. And having a blast, having an amazing day. Although they were doing something physically really, 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 really exhausting. Yeah. I think I want to connect on that and explore the question why we are optimizing for comfort. Why do we do that? Because as we just discovered, it doesn't lead to a really fulfilling, beautiful life. It leads to a maybe comfortable life in the short run, but an uncomfortable life in the long run, because we get fat, we get overweight, we get sick. Why do we do that? Why do we have this deep craving for comfort? When you look at how the Yekuana people, they're living in the Amazon jungle, when you look at how they grow up, like the first months of their life are so different than how the first months of a baby in the Western world, in the civilized world, look like. Because they are carried around by their mothers, by their fathers, by their older siblings, by their grandpas, by their aunts, by whomever is there. They get carried around all the time and they get loved unconditionally. And Jean Dietloff shares in the book, that's like the central thesis. If the first months of your life are like 100% unconditional love, comfort, you get everything you need without needing to do something for it, then this nourishes you on such a deep level that after a while, with 12 months, 18 months, 9 months, it all depends. But after a couple of months, you are nourished, like your cup is so full. You are loved so unconditionally. You are like, you get everything you needed. But then you realize, okay, I'm full. Now I want to be independent. Now I want to explore. Now I don't want to take any more, like, from my mother. I want to be a sovereign human being, and I actually want to give and I want to contribute to society. And that's why these people living in the Amazon jungle, like, from a young age on, with 2, 3, 4 years, they care for their younger siblings and they participate in preparing food for the family, and like going for a hunt, and yeah, gathering ingredients for dinner and so on. And they mature so much earlier. They grow up completely different. When you, like, in the civilized world, when you look around in cities, seeing kids with 12, 14, 16 years old who are still, like, when you look at them and how they behave, they're still like babies. They're unhappy all the time and cranky, and they need things, and then they are in a mood, and, like, this whole, like, how teenagers behave, I think, is not normal. It's absolutely not normal. It's not natural. It's not how we are really designed to be. And this shows a fundamental lack of this unconditional, deep nourishing, deep loving, deep carrying around without needing to do anything. And we, with 13 years old, or with 30 years old, or with 63 years old, still try to get this comfortable feeling, this cozy feeling, this of like, oh, I don't need to do anything and everything is provided for me. If we don't fulfill this essential need in the first months of our lives, we are haunted. We are haunted by it for the rest of our lives. And this manifests in behavior like grown-up adults striving for passive income. Like, in this whole entrepreneurship space, this craving for passive income. Okay, I will hustle now and I will build something, and then this business that I build will care for me the rest of my life, and I can retire. Like, just being on YouTube and watching these, like, every second ad is a guy sharing exactly this story. Hey, I was broke, my life was miserable, and then I worked, and then I figured out how it works with trading or with drop shipping or Amazon or whatever it is, whatever the magic pill is. And then they said, okay, and now I retire and I have this beautiful wife and I have this amazing car and I have this great house and I don't need to do anything anymore, and now I can relax. Like, striving for this situation, thriving for a situation where you basically are cared for unconditionally by your business. This is not a mature behavior. This shows that deeply inside these people there is a lack, because of not having experienced this unconditional loving and this unconditional caring towards them in early childhood. And then we are trying to push the button, like this urge for, I want to have the magic pill, like how I can, you see that in all the industries, like in business and earning money, you see that in weight loss and nutrition, like the majority of all marketing, of all advertising is predicated on this, or is targeted towards this inner lack and addressing it and communicating, hey, this may be your opportunity to push the button, and then without you needing to do anything, like follow my regimen, buy my course, and then you will be rich overnight, or you will have your dream body within 3 weeks without needing to work out and still being able to eat Ben and Jerry's or whatever it is, like the magic pill, like pushing the button. And our addiction to smartphones, our addiction to social media, they tell the same story. And so we have this phone, we have this magic wand that can do anything that we desire, and then we have it and we can push a button and then we can get entertained. Like, entertainment is such a such a good example for that. Like, if we are living the comfortable life and it's chilling on the sofa and watching one Netflix series after the other, we are looking for entertainment, we are looking for adventure in a comfortable way. But the thing is, it won't fulfill us. It won't fulfill us. No amount of comfortable entertainment, of comfortable adventure will really fulfill this deep desire we have, because adventure needs to be uncomfortable in order for it to really fulfill us. Like, one of the most beautiful days I had in the last weeks was 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 3 days ago with Leona. I made a trip to the mountains, really high altitude, and it was raining and it was foggy and it was cold, and we drove there and had an amazing time. And it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. It was really, really uncomfortable. It was not like cozy, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed like driving on the scooter and having this little boy and a little bit freezing and but I enjoyed it. It was rich. It was satisfying. Yeah. Imagine, like, that's the whole joy of hiking. If we could just push a button and then be on the summit, taking the elevator. It's not as fulfilling compared to really hiking, really putting in the hours, putting in the sweat, and embracing the discomfort. Yeah. And again, I don't want to put this point across of you need to hustle, you need to suffer like all your life. I don't want to. No, this David Goggins approach to life doesn't feel right for me. Absolutely. Absolutely. But still, the farther we departed from our truth, from our alignment, the more discomfort we will have right now. And then seeing that as an invitation to step more into alignment so that the discomfort can go and our lives become more easy, more beautiful, more effortless. This is the path. This is the path for me. I want to share a couple of areas in my life where I'm currently experiencing discomfort and see that as an opportunity to step more into my truth. Like spending more time on the floor. I could record this podcast in a nice comfy chair and having it super relaxed. But the thing is, no, I want to have a body that is comfortable to sit in lotus position for 90 minutes. But currently I don't have that. When I'm on the floor, it's getting uncomfortable after a couple of minutes. And you see that if you're watching the video podcast, you see me like always moving around, moving my legs because they get sore, because they hurt. And I don't have the flexibility in my body right now that I want to have. But I see this discomfort that I'm feeling as an opportunity to spend more time on the floor, to spend more time in meditation, to spend more time cross-legged, to spend more time like moving my body, stretching it, walking, and so on. But until I will arrive at the super flexible physical manifestation that I want to have, there will be some discomfort. The same thing with sleeping. Like over the past days, I watched a couple of videos on YouTube about people sharing that they are sleeping on the floor. And this really intrigues me. And they are sharing why it's so detrimental for our health and for our posture and for our spine and for our muscles to sleep in these like overly comfortable cushioned beds, mattresses that are so soft. It's really detrimental for our health. And it resonates a lot with me. And still, imagine me sleeping on the floor causes discomfort. But I know that I will transition slowly more into that. And I will embrace this discomfort and see this again as an opportunity for purification. Yeah. Yeah. So there are so many areas right now where I feel this discomfort. Like another great example is fasting. And nourishing our body only with the highest possible food. Of course, there are moments where I like, oh, maybe like a chocolate bar or some nice, rich, vegan ice cream for dessert, like on the sofa just before going to bed would feel nice. But I know it's not serving my body. Like the next morning, I will feel discomfort. I feel so much better if I have an early light dinner and not having a crazy combination out of like 50 different ingredients, but having a light dinner like coconut meat or cashew nuts or durian or jackfruit or like, yeah, something really pure. And having that like early, around 6 p.m. having dinner, and then the 3 or 4 hours before going to bed, not eating anything. This is something that is such a stark contrast to how I ate in the past. In the past I had dinner like really late, because it was this comfort of having a maybe stressful day, working a lot, being there for my son, and having all sorts of things that I was managing. And then in the end of the day, just chilling on the sofa, watching a nice movie, and then having a rich, epic, full, like heavy dinner. This was one of my biggest comforts. And I'm giving this up right now. I'm giving this up and trading it towards a lighter dinner, an earlier dinner. And that's not easy every day. But I know that this is the way to go. And of course, until I'm getting really used to it, of course I will feel this discomfort, but I embrace that. Yeah. The same thing, like how we are getting our food. Of course, it's super easy to get it delivered, to buy it in a grocery store. And it's something else to grow your own food and to spend like 1 or 2 hours every day in the food forest. I'm not doing this currently, but I'm transitioning more and more into that. And how I really see like my ideal home in community is everybody, no matter how successful they are in their business, no matter how much money they earn, no matter how easy they could pay anybody to buy them some food. No, I see that everybody is working in the food forest for 10 hours a week. I think that's so crucial. I think that's so important. And I always remember the story of the little monkey, of what it does for your deep sense of satisfaction when you really worked for your food. And maybe this is an invitation for you to question the relationship with your food and how you get it. And because for me, it's so priceless. It's so priceless going to the garden and picking your own papaya, and then it's not ripe, and then you let it ripen in the kitchen, and then every morning you get up and you see the papaya. Oh, is today the day? Oh no, today is not the day. Okay, wait for another day. Having really patience. And then after 3 days, the papaya is ripe and I slice it open and I take a spoon, and it's so much more delicious than when I'm sitting in a cafe and I just order sliced papaya. Completely different. But of course, there's a certain discomfort because you need to work for it. But yeah, becoming a grown-up adult leads to, and this is what Jean Liedloff really beautifully describes in her book, leads to you getting more satisfaction out of giving, out of working, out of contributing, compared to you getting, taking, receiving, being cared for. Like if you get more satisfaction out of being unconditionally cared for and being cozy and comfortable, then you're basically a baby. Because for a baby, that's normal. Because the baby cannot do anything. They cannot prepare their own food. They cannot work. They cannot contribute to society. They just need to be cared for unconditionally. But this is just normal for the first 9, 12, 15, 18 months of your life. And when this need is really fulfilled, then the baby doesn't want to do that. They want to crawl around. They want to care for their younger siblings. But we collectively as a society, because we were robbed of this fundamental human need that we have. And this leads to us being trapped in the state of a baby. Yeah. And of course, the farther we departed from the truth, the longer our path back is. And tools like meditation, all sorts of healing modalities, breathwork, therapy, and so on. Of course, this helps. But as long as we are not living in full alignment, like from the moment of our birth, there will be some discomfort with it, and this discomfort shows us the truth. Yeah. So yeah, for me, the long-term goal for me individually and for us as a society to live in full bliss, to live in full joy and full harmony and just having an effortless life. But in the past, we collectively made so many decisions that are not in alignment with our truth, and this causes the discomfort that we embrace right now. But if we choose the right discomfort that purifies us, that lets us, that leads us to us living our truth again, stepping into it again, like one step at a time, then we are on a pretty beautiful journey. Yeah. Aho. That's it for today. If you feel the urge to share with me what kind of discomfort you are experiencing now, and taking maybe this episode as an inspiration to lean more into the discomfort in order for it to be able to purify us, to set us free. If you feel the calling to share that with me, I'm always super happy either on Instagram or email or in our private Telegram channel. I'm always super, super grateful for everybody sharing what these episodes inspire or maybe remind you of your innate truth that was always there and always will be there. We just need to look at it again. Yeah. So yeah, if you feel the urge to share, I'm always happy to hear from you. And yeah. I think today's episode is, if we would be truly honest, something that could be very difficult, very, very difficult to really look at all the things that cause discomfort. Because for me as Lionel's father, like the amount of discomfort I feel of him or us not yet, even though we made so many steps already, not living like fully in the right living settings, and the discomfort that I feel when I see him being unhappy and needing a lot because the living conditions are not the right ones yet. We are not living in this incredibly beautiful community setting with so many other parents and so many other children and families, and everybody's like living together, and we are growing our own food, and we're having the most amazing, beautiful life, and we are creating and we are building. And I have a deep, deep yearning for that. And then sense that this will become a reality, that this will become a reality maybe even sooner than later. But it's not there yet, and this causes a lot of discomfort in me. And at the same time, it motivates me, and it shows me like how unnatural these living conditions that we created, like collectively, this nuclear family of mother, father, and children, and they are living in a concrete box. Of course, this creates a lot of discomfort in the children and in the parents, because it's unnatural. It's not the way we should live. We should live in like multi-generational homes with everybody together on a beautiful piece of land. And this is so clear. This is so true. It's so obvious that this is the truth, and it's still not a reality. And this causes discomfort. And it's a beautiful kind of discomfort, because it shows me, where is the path? Lionel shows me the path. Yeah, my own discomfort shows me the path, be it through my feet that are hurting, or my body feeling uncomfortable after sitting for so long on the floor, or whatever it is. Thank you for all the discomfort that I'm feeling. Thank you, because it shows me the path and it purifies me. So yeah, this was my journey inspired by today's morning meditation. Very curious what emerged for you. If you feel the calling to share that with me, I'm always happy to read from you. And if you sense that this is something that you want to embody on a physical level, I want to invite you to 10 days here in my home in Bali. Align your full system life force upgrade, a retreat, a very special retreat. 10 days, I'm taking you, removing you out of your current living conditions and putting you here into the Balinese jungle in an amazing location. We have a permaculture estate here on the foot of Mount Batucaru, and we'll be having 10 days of physical purification, of spiritual purification, and of really stepping into this in this most natural, most vibrant, most powerful state again, in order to be able to afterwards, in our business, in our families, in our jobs, wherever we are, wherever we are sharing our gifts, wherever we are contributing, to be able to do that on a so much more profound, so much more powerful level, because we stepped into our alignment, we stepped into our full life force energy. And if we're coming from this standpoint, and yeah, favorite example, Tony Robbins, he always says, like, your greatest asset is your energy level. And I cannot agree more. If we are bursting with energy every day, and at the same time leaning towards our spiritual journey and not clinging and not resisting, if we're bringing these two together, really caring caring for our bodies on a physical level as good as we can, and at the same time opening up ourselves for the spiritual journey and releasing and letting go and surrendering, if we bring these two together, our lives become so rich and at the same time so free and so liberating. And then maybe someday in our lives, we will be faced with a situation that is as difficult as it gets. Be it in a prison, be it losing a loved one, be it whatever. And when we can handle that, we can handle that. Because we made our homeworks. Yeah. And I don't see this just as an insurance against heavy situations in our life. I see this as a multiplying force for the contribution that we want to make, the contribution that wants to flow through us. Everybody is so much more powerful than we currently embody. And that's what calls me to align. So yeah, 26th of November to 5th of December, if you feel the calling to join me here in my home. Looking forward to your application. The link is in the description. Looking forward to hear from you. And yeah, let's continue the conversation. A month ago, I opened a private Telegram channel. There we're having monthly community calls, and I'm sharing so much more, like what is flowing through me, my favorite books, my favorite podcast, everything, like YouTube videos that I'm watching, voice messages, everything that wants to be shared besides these 60, 90, 120, 240 minute long form podcast episodes that I'm enjoying so much. Everything else that wants to be shared takes place in the Telegram channel. So hop on over. It's Living in the Sacred Economics. You can contribute whatever you want, whatever feels right. Looking forward to see you there. It's a beautiful, beautiful little community that's getting built there. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your openness. Thank you for the humility that is required to realize where we are not living in alignment, where we are feeling discomfort and not pushing this discomfort away, not trying to not feel it, not trying to replace it immediately with comfort, because we know that this doesn't lead to the beautiful life that we truly are here to live. Yeah, all the discomfort shows us where we maybe embarked on a journey that was not in alignment with our truth, and we need to come back, and this discomfort is our companion on that path. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for me being able to share all of that. Really appreciate it. It's a sacred, sacred work. really happy to put that out there. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Cheers from Bali.